verse in another version says this. It says, David attacked the Philistines and defeated them. Then he said, I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. So he named the place, the Lord broke through. Praise God. The Lord broke through. This week we're asking everyone that would be willing to join with us in 7 days of prayer and fasting. And that, of course, is between you and the Lord. But it's a wonderful thing when the church can just collectively pray together and fast together. So whether you are on a complete fast of no food at all, or maybe fasting, eating maybe only one meal a day, or maybe eating just certain types of foods, however you fast, it's an important time for us to wait upon the Lord. I think for some people, the question immediately comes to mind, why? Why would we do that? Why would we set aside food and pray and seek the Lord? Why would we do that? Well, we are going to do that because we need God to break through for us. We need God to break through for us. And if you're asking the Lord, if you'll move in the direction, if you're wanting God to move for you, then you move toward God. You make a step toward God. And how do I really know that we need to fast and pray? Well, I think that many would probably agree with me when I say, in many cases and in many situations, folks are just kind of stuck. You're kind of at a spiritual stalemate. You're not winning, but you're not losing, and you're not winning. You're just stuck. You're not moving. You're not progressing. You're not moving forward in the things of the Lord. And you can't seem to break through. You can't seem to move forward. You can't seem to come out of your stalled position that you're in. Not in sin, not living wicked lives, not involved in things that are not pleasing to the Lord necessarily, just at a halt, just at a stalled position. Now, this text that I read to you from 2 Samuel chapter 5, first of all, talks about David's anointing. This was actually the third anointing of David. If you remember, David was anointed among his brethren when he was called out of taking care of his father Jesse's sheep, and he was the least likely one, but yet he was anointed that day by Samuel to be king of Israel, and he was a changed man. He was different from that day forward. A little bit later on, he's anointed over Judah when only that particular tribe, and anointed to lead them and to be their king. This anointing in 2 Samuel chapter 5 is when finally it was about 2 or 3 years since he was anointed in his father's house, but now he's seeing all of that God has put in his heart beginning to come to pass, because all of the tribes are all brought together and are united together, and they have anointed David to be king over all 12 tribes, over Israel. And so it's really like the fulfilling of the very thing that God had called him for and anointed him for in the beginning. And he's seeing that come to pass here. He was anointed. But it says that the Philistines heard that David was anointed king of Israel. You see, the enemy, Philistines are the perennial enemies of Israel all through Scripture, and we have to see the parallel that the enemy never wants you to make progress. He never wants to see God's plan fulfilled. He will always resist it. He is against you simply because you're a child of God. And he wants to resist God's plan for your life, God's power at work in your life. And it simply says that the Philistines came up to seek David because David was the one that God had anointed, that God was going to use to lead Israel and to work mightily through him to bring Israel to a greater place of victory. So the enemy opposes that. But the Bible says that David heard of it. He heard what was happening, and he went down to the hold. Now, the hold was like a fortress. It was like a strong place, a stronghold. It was like a fort, a hiding place where he could go and just get away. And we know what he did in this place, in this stronghold. The Bible says there he inquired of the Lord. So this was a place that David went to call on God. And we all need to have that place. The church can be that place for most of us. It can be the place where we run there and we find that the church among the people of God is a place of strength. It's a place of safety. It's a spiritual fortress. When you come and you gather in with the people of God, then there's strength in that and there's help whenever we come together. Don't neglect the house of God. When you see the enemy coming against you, don't neglect God's house in your most crucial hour. Don't do it. It's a big mistake. It's a trick of the enemy. The Bible says he went down to the hold and that he inquired of the Lord. The Bible says that the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. They did this because what they wanted to accomplish was they wanted to intimidate, they wanted to control, they wanted to make sure that David didn't accomplish what God had called him to accomplish. That's why they're there. The Bible says in verse 19 that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" All battles require that we call upon God. All battles require that we enter into a time of prayer. If you're going to enter into a conflict with the enemy of your soul, you need to call on God. You need to trust God and ask God to help you in your situation. "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said, "Go up. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Then David came to this place called Baal Perazim. And David smote them there. And there he saw the Lord break through for him like a rushing river, like a rushing water, that God just burst through and gave a mighty victory and a mighty deliverance. And so he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, or "The Lord has broke through," the place of the breakthrough. Praise God. Now, I know that many of you need a breakthrough spiritually. Some of you need a breakthrough in other areas of your life. You need a breakthrough possibly in your family, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your finances, maybe in your, I don't know, all different kinds of areas of your life that you need God to break through for you. And that just simply means that God comes in a supernatural way and he gives you a forward push, a supernatural forward push, and gives you a mighty touch of his power, a heavenly push forward so that you can move through. You've been stalled. You've been kind of halted. You can't seem to progress. You can't seem to move from one place to the next. And no matter what you do or what you try to do, you can't seem to do it. You need God. You need a place, a Baal Perazim. You need the place where God breaks through from you. It gives to you a heavenly push forward so that you can accomplish the purpose and the will of God. Amen. And that's why we are calling the church to a week of prayer and fasting. Because in this place of prayer and fasting, we can expect that God will hear the cries of his people and God will begin to move. A familiar verse in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. When you make a serious and a determined move toward the things of God, you can be sure that you're going to get God's attention. When you really determine in your heart that you're going to seek earnestly after God, and whenever you lay aside food to seek after God, that gets God's attention. Does it not? It does. Because when you are willing to seek the Lord and to set aside, you know, your fleshly appetite, and you begin to exchange that time as a time where you're saying, Lord, I know I'm hungry for food because my stomach is telling me that I'm hungry for food. My head is hurting. It's telling me that I'm hungry for food. But Lord, I am more hungry for you. I'm more hungry for your power and your touch and your breakthrough than I am for physical food. And when you do that, then and you draw nigh to God, then God moves toward you. God starts moving for you. Then you can expect a breakthrough in your life. And God will begin to work mightily in your situation. God takes notice of anything that you do to draw closer to God. That catches the attention of the Lord. And he will move for you. I know that some of you, you need God to help you. You need some solutions. You need some answers. Some of you are faced with some decisions that you have to make. You really need God to help you. You don't know what to do. You're at a crossroads and you need God to break through for you and to give you clarity and understanding of what his purpose and his calling is. This is a week for you. This is a week for you to seek the Lord with prayer and fasting. Amen. During prayer and fasting, you can receive heaven's solution to earthly situations. Amen. Heaven's solutions to earthly situations. Praise God. You can have clarity. The heavens open up and you can have insight and understanding into the heart of God and the purpose of God. And God will break through for you and break through in your situation where you seem like you are stopped, stalled, can't move forward, can't seem to get an answer, can't seem to progress. And you're calling upon the Lord. But as you call upon the Lord with prayer and fasting, can bring about the change that you desperately need. So what happens when we fast and we pray? Well, when you fast and pray, your soul, the Bible says your soul is humbled before God. You are humbled before the Lord. And really, humility is just that. It's just an expression of your dependency upon the Lord. We have the tendency to be self-sufficient. We have a problem, we'll work it out. We have a problem, well, it'll work itself out. We have some situation in our life, and if I wait long enough, maybe this will all come together and the problems will all resolve themselves. But God wants you to humble yourself and to express the fact that you need God. You don't have the knowledge or the wisdom. You don't know what to do. You don't have the solutions. You need God to open up the heavens and to give you a divine solution to your earthly circumstance. Amen. And God will do that when you humble yourself before the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The proud is the person who says, I can do this. I can make it. I've got the strength. I can just kind of power through my problems. I can do this. I've got the ability to do it. And so that's pride that says you can solve all your problems. It's pride that says you can resolve every issue. You cannot. You're going to make sure, and God will make sure, that you come up against crisis and troubles and problems that you cannot resolve in your own ability, in your own knowledge, because he wants you to humble yourself so that he will give grace to you. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He resists the proud. It's like a stiff arm. He just says, no, I can't help you. I can't help you. You're proud. You're self-sufficient. You don't really need me. But whenever you recognize that you need God and you are willing to humble yourself and cry out to God, then you can receive the help that you need from the Lord. Amen. In Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, well, I'll just give you a little quick little background here in the account here. Ezra is getting ready to lead a group of exiles back to Jerusalem, and he's going to have a lot of the vessels, a lot of the valuable things that were out of the temple that he's going to be taking back with him. And the king says, well, wouldn't you like, I'm paraphrasing here, wouldn't you want me just to dispatch a bunch of soldiers to go with you so that you can be protected on the journey? Now let's read Ezra 8 and 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all of them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. What Ezra is saying here is that I went before the king and I said, you let us go, God will be with us. God's with everyone who seeks after him. And he said, what a shame, what a reproach it would be for me to say, yeah, send some soldiers to protect us. But now they're getting ready to take off on this journey that was likely going to be a dangerous journey. And they stop at the river Ahava here, and they proclaim a fast there that they might afflict themselves before God to seek after the Lord. It says in verse 23, 8 and 23, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Praise God. They took off on this journey, dangerous journey. They did not lean upon the strength of the flesh. They did not depend upon the Persian armies, but instead they fasted and asked God, go with us, protect us, take care of us as we go. They humbled themselves, and when they did, then God provided the protection and the safety that they needed. Amen. Praise God. When you fast, God is just simply saying, if you'll humble yourself in fasting and prayer, then I will come to you and I will strengthen you and empower you to do what you need to do. Praise God. Not only that, but when you fast, God gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. We all have decisions. We all have things that we face. And we can't power through all these things and think that we're humanly able to deal with all of these issues of our life. We cannot. That's why we need to pray and we need to fast. We need to call upon the Lord so that God will give you a heavenly solution to your earthly problem. Amen. God can do that. God will do that. He will break through for you. And you may have been praying about the same situation for a long, long time. The same lost family member, the same problems, the same needs. And you feel like you're stuck. You feel like that the enemy has spread himself in the valley around you and you can't make any progress. But the Bible says that God broke through for David and his armies. And God will break through for you as well if you'll inquire of the Lord, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. He'll give you direction. He'll give to you wisdom. He'll give to you understanding if you'll put your trust in the Lord. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 13. In verse number 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You see, here they're at Antioch. The church is young, and they know that God wants them to do something, but they don't know for sure what. And they don't know exactly how to do it. And on this particular day, as they fast and pray, the Holy Ghost begins to speak and tell them what to do. And I'm going to empower you. This was the beginning. This was the push forward that Paul and Barnabas needed that ended up in being three different missionary journeys that took the gospel to the entire known world at that time. They just needed this extra push of the Holy Ghost. They just needed to hear from God and hear the voice of the Lord. The Bible says that they, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they got clarity, they got understanding into the plan of God and the purpose of God. And thank God they fulfilled what God called them to do. And for you and for me, we need to understand that we don't need to make one step in any direction unless we have sought the Lord. Amen. Amen. No move forward. You know, churches and ministries can get involved in a lot of different things. There's all kinds of things we can do, we can get involved in. But we need to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. We need to make sure that we're hearing the voice of the Lord and how He is directing and what He wants us to do as a people, as a body. And you as well, in your own personal life, in your family, your household, that you would seek the Lord about divine help and direction and understanding. Now that's what Daniel did, and we mentioned this Wednesday night in the service, that Daniel fasted and prayed. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, that Daniel, he prayed and fasted for 21 days. Daniel 10 and 12, he says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. That shows you the purpose of Daniel in the 21-day fast, that he wanted understanding. He wanted to know that he's in captivity. He's a spiritual leader, and he wants to know what's going to happen to the people. What's going to happen to the Jewish nation? What's going to happen? Little did he know that he was not only going to get insight into the immediate situation and the immediate needs that they have, but God was getting ready to give to Daniel visions and dreams and reveal to him for a plan that was going to extend for generations and generations. And as I mentioned Wednesday night, even some of those things are being fulfilled right now that Daniel heard from God because he sought the Lord in prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. God can give you wisdom and give you direction. Let me tell you, we need help from God no matter what we're attempting to do. If you're raising a family and you've got little kids and you're under your roof, you need wisdom from God. You need wisdom. Amen. Hear the voice of God. Everybody else around you, they may not be living the way you're living. They may not be following the plan of God that you're following. Don't listen to all the voices that are around you. Listen to the voice of God. Amen. Direct your household and your family according to what God reveals to you and speaks to you by His Spirit and through His Word. Live for God and don't allow all of these things to distract you. What others are doing around this world. Amen. And all around you, even in your own associations that you're involved in. So when you fast and pray, God grants to you wisdom and understanding to know what to do. And another thing that's on my mind and on my heart today, and that is when you fast and pray, that God breaks through strongholds for you. As I've already mentioned, that there are some situations where you seem held back, can't move forward, can't accomplish what you want to be able to accomplish. But a prayer and fasting time can help you to break through spiritual strongholds. Isaiah 58 in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Amen. Through prayer and fasting, yokes, bondages, hindrances can be broken. And in the lives of people that you're praying for that are held fast in the bondages of the enemy, friends and family and loved ones that you're praying for, they're bound by the enemy. People in our community that are bound by the enemy, they can't seem to get set free. You can pray for them. You can fast and pray for them. And I just want to mention starting place for you in your prayer and fasting this week is to pray for every family in this church. Pray for every one in this church by name. And you may not know what they are facing. Some of you may know certain needs or circumstances, but you may not know what's going on in their life, but you can pray for them that God would break through for them. Hallelujah. That God would break through in every household, because the enemy wants to use sickness. He wants to use discouragement. He wants to use all kinds of different bondages. He wants to use addictions. He'll use whatever he can to keep people from moving forward in the plan and the purpose of God. When you fast, strongholds are broken. Amen. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Our struggle is not with the flesh. We're dealing with an unseen world and a demonic world today, and we are no match for it in our own strength. We need the power of God's Spirit at work in our life to break through all of these strongholds of the enemy. We wrestle not, Ephesians 6 and 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. The enemy wants to destroy. He's a destroyer. He wants to destroy, but God wants to break through for you. Hallelujah. He wants to break through for you and move in your situation, move in your life. I mentioned this on Wednesday night also from Matthew chapter 17, how that the disciples couldn't help the young boy that was under the control of that demonic spirit. But Jesus then comes and delivers him from that demon force that has a control over his life. And the verse in Matthew 17 and 21, albeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Remember, certain things will never happen until you fast and pray. Certain yokes will never be broken until you fast and pray. Some things just won't change. They just won't change. You're going to be held fast. You're not going to be able to push forward and break out and break through until you call upon the name of the Lord with fasting and with prayer, and you believe God to bring deliverance, to set people's minds free, their physical bodies free, to deliver them from the sinful patterns of their life. Only God can do that by His Spirit. Amen. Only He can do that. He can break the strongholds. There's so many things I don't have time to go through this. Maybe I'll continue with some of this tonight in the service. But as we pray and fast, let's remember that God also wants to, when you pray and fast, God introduces new things, new seasons, new things into your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whenever God wants you to step forward and do some new ministry, do some new work, when He wants you to step forward and do something for Him that you've never done before, then understand that God is a God of new things. New things. As a matter of fact, He loves to get you to where you are stale and you are dead and there's no life and there's no love and there's no zeal and you're not, there's no freshness and new, but God wants to break through all of that. And when you fast and pray, then God will direct you and lead you into some new things that He wants you to do for Him. Praise God. Moses fasted and prayed on Sinai before God revealed the commandments to him. Jesus fasted for 40 days before He began His earthly ministry. Paul, as I've already given you the account there in Acts 13, Paul and others fasted and prayed as they then heard from God and the elders laid hands on them and separated them for the ministry that they were going to involve in those three different missionary journeys. Amen. Glory to God. Seek the Lord this week. Call upon the Lord this week. Believe God for a breakthrough in your own spiritual life, in your family, in your household, in our church, in our community, and in whatever ways that God wants to work in your life and use you. Believe God to do it by the power of His Spirit. I mentioned praying for every member of the church, every family in the church. Call upon the Lord. It's easy to do. You all know where everybody sits in the sanctuary. And I've mentioned this before. Many years I've done this and have prayed and walked around in the sanctuary. And I know where Merle Barrett sits. So when I get to that point, then I can pray for Merle and Samuel Barrett. I know where Herman Ledger sits. And so when I get around to that area, I know that I can pray for Herman and pray for Nettie. Easy to, and you can do the very same thing, even if you're not here physically. Mental, you can do the same thing and call upon the name of the Lord on behalf of our church folks. Because most everyone in this building here this morning, you need God to break through for you in some area. In some area, you need God to break through for you. And I believe that He's going to do that as we call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, that You have called us to seek Your face. And Lord, I just pray that among this group here this morning, that our desire to draw nearer to You will be stronger than our physical appetite. Lord, our desire, Lord, and our hunger for the things of God will be stronger than our desire for natural things. Stir our hearts, Lord. Lord, and give us strength and courage to obey Your voice. I pray for our church, Lord, because the needs are so great around us in our community. This community needs a church that's experiencing the mighty power of God. Oh, God. Oh, God. The lost that are around us, the lost that are connected to our families and our loved ones, Lord, they need a church that is walking with You in power. So, Lord, stir up the church. Stir up Your people. And, Lord, this week, let it be the beginning of some wonderful new things that You're going to do in 2020. Lord, as we seek Your face with our whole heart. In Jesus' name we pray.